Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
We were chatting to US Murph this week about the record-breaking form of Steph Curry in the NBA at the moment, which got me reminiscing about the time in 2015 I got to see Curry in the flesh in a big playoff match against the Houston Rockets, a game the Golden State Warriors won by a single point thanks to a virtuoso performance by their superstar. I was in the Bay Area at that time with my friends and work colleagues, also big sports fans, so you'd assume they jumped at the chance to come along with me to the Oracle Arena. Wrong.
No.
Not at all. Very much not. Please inform the non-members who haven't heard your story where you were at the exact moment Steph Curry helped strip James Harden of the ball in the last play of the game.
Well, you made...
I don't know if it was at the exact moment, but you know, for dramatic purposes, let's go with this.
Yeah, so you made your decision early on that morning. You were going to go, you were going to pay whatever it took to get into the Oracle Arena to watch that game.
A really bad seat. Pay whatever it took to get to be right up in the rafters, further away from the court than I thought it was possible to be in a basketball arena, but in there nonetheless.
Your friends had work colleagues, decided to go their separate ways in San Francisco, not go to the game. Me and Ken opted for some retail therapy. So we went into the downtown shopping district, and on our leisurely stroll home, we decided we'd call into a couple of pubs along the way. As is prone to happen from time to time when young men... Footloose and fancy free in a foreign city. We went from bar to bar. We had a great time. I was telling the story, and I was kind of surprised that Ken wasn't eagerly jumping in with his memories of the day. Turns out he didn't remember any of the various anecdotes that I had told about this particular occasion. But anyway, at the moment that Steve Curry robbed James Harden and secured the Golden State Warriors' victory, my foot, it appeared, had become... I was paralysed from the waist down, it appeared. And in this bar that I was in at that exact moment, I couldn't figure out why, when I asked my left foot to move, it was refusing to move. After a number of minutes of blind panic, I looked down, I peered down into the dark, and I discovered that my foot had got caught in the bar's foot rail, and rendering me entirely immobile. And so, as I panicked, wondering, like, okay, I have a couple of drinks on board, sure, but this does seem like the sort of thing that could only happen to someone who is completely pissed. So, in the end, I had to confide in Ken early. Ken got down there. He jimmied my ankle somehow, managed to free me from my binds, and I was free then to go to the bathroom. And I believe what we're going to play now on is... Ken's reaction to this story, which I think kind of encapsulates, you know, just his poor decision making across his youth and early middle age, and just it's more of just a short audio essay on missed opportunities in life. Is that what we're calling this?
I don't even remember this. I don't even remember pulling your foot out of whatever it was stuck in like that, and I could have been watching Steph Curry with Owen.
I know.
I just decided, no, why don't I just go drinking for the day and forget everything that happened? Like, it's amazing. You know, like, that's always happening in my life. You know, it's a constant theme. Like, I remembered, I was, when you were talking about this, just the whole situation reminded me of 20 years ago, I went to China to visit a friend of mine. He was in the University of Fudan in Shanghai. And he said, why don't we go to Tibet? You can actually fly to Tibet. It costs basically nothing. And we can go there for a few days and, you know, that'd be pretty cool. But you haven't been to Tibet. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, kind of just rather hang around Shanghai drinking. And now I think, like, I can't believe that I squandered the opportunity to go to Tibet just to, like, the highlight of my Shanghai drinking was getting stuck outside on the balcony of the apartment block, and my friends were both inside drunkenly falling asleep while I was banging on the door which was locked from the inside, or had closed, and I was unable to open from the outside on a freezing February night, and eventually had to sleep there on Shanghai February 18th floor balcony when I could have been wandering around Tibet like Brad Pitt in that movie. And I would imagine how insufferably I would have spoken about being in Tibet.
Like me speaking insufferably about seeing Steph Curry live, Ken, pretty much.
Well, that's what happens. Yeah. You know, you go and see, like, the, you know, the roof of the world, or like Steph Curry, the greatest athlete in basketball. But no, instead, I'll go and pull Murph's foot out of a hole that he's got it stuck in. And I actually won't even be able to remember that happened in my life. So that's, these are the types of choices that I make. When am I going to learn?
Oh man, I don't feel great that we dragged poor Ken through all that. I mean, maybe the entire incident would have been best left unrediscovered. He did end up asking big questions about himself and his choices. We've all missed big moments. We've all made poor choices.
You make decisions in life, you know, and you got to just roll with them.
Ken wasn't the only one feeling emotional this week. Murph here was reduced to tears when he watched back Katie Taylor versus Natasha Jonas from the 2012 Olympics.
Left again. Katie catches her with the right hand, and it is a count. And this magical woman from Bray is now showing the world how good she is, and she is fantastic. And the bell goes, and then you take it for almost granted now that Katie Taylor is in the semi-finals, and for the 14th time in Olympic history, Ireland has won a medal, and Katie Taylor has added an Olympic medal to all that collection she has from the world of the Europeans. What is she about? She's about brilliance.
It choked you up, Murph. It choked you up good.
It did. Yeah. I don't know why. I really, you know, I'm still kind of struggling to process the whole thing, you know. It has made me very much look forward to this fight tomorrow, though. I mean, it's just some unbelievable hype work by Mark Horgan to get me to pay however much money it is for the Sky Sports box office event tomorrow evening.
Yeah, well, Mark has been doing some hyping up on behalf of Sky, of course, but he's also been dampening the hype by talking to me behind the scenes. He said, do watch this fight back and just let me know what you think about the respective performances of the two, because it's always seen as this great fight, and a lot of people say it was her hardest fight of the Olympics and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was by a mile her most exciting fight of the Olympics, but she absolutely walloped Natasha Jonas in three of the four rounds, two standing counts.
Yeah, the second round was, you know, I think it ended up even on the scorecard. I mean, yeah. I think it was Katie's round, but whatever. The other three rounds, yeah, it was like an absolute lesson.
Mark and others are expecting a Katie win, but Jonas has power, and you know she's got a bit about her. So we'll see what happens to that one. But Andy Lee was on talking about that. Andy is involved in the main event that night. He's head trainer of Joseph Parker for the first time. Parker, former world champion, went the distance with Anthony Joshua a couple of years back. Recently decided he needed a new trainer. Andy is the man. So we have Andy on the show today talking about how that relationship is going and how he's gone about deconstructing to a certain extent the style of this of Parker, and you know trying to keep him as confident as he can be in what he does while also changing a lot of stuff. It's like, you know, it's a balance,
as Andy said,
a delicate balancing act. Yeah, Johnny Beattie has been a brilliant addition to our rugby analysis this year, former Scotland international based in France. So we felt he was the best man to tell us about the awesome challenge La Rochelle will pose Leinster in the Champions Cup semi-final.
Them and Toulouse have led straight from the first round of games. They've been superb to watch, and both sides of the ball are outstanding. You would have accused French teams maybe 5 to 10 years ago of being a bit of a shambles, but the level of organization that they have is up with what we've seen in Britain and the UK. You said that France had been lots of talent, some big men, but not really that organized, not fit. It's no longer the case. They are big, destructive men. So it's scrum time, maul time, line-out time, extremely well organized, efficient, and add pressure. You saw what happened to Sale with Faf de Klerk like leaving the pitch on 60 minutes, completely dejected because his team had been physically bullied. But at the same time, there are fantastic layers of detail, whether it's starter plays, which obviously comes from tremendous analysis pre-game, which you generally wouldn't attribute to French top 14 sides either. Completely different ways of unlocking defenses, opening up gates, creating 2v1s, creating chaos, and then players that are capable of finishing off. So you do have that huge power up front, but then you get into Carbarlo, Aya West, Dumaru, Rule. The players they've got and the talent and the depth is quite freakish. So that's it. They've just got layers of now how they can win a game. Some games it will be scrum, line out, maul, simplistic attack, really, really sleek defensive systems where they don't overcommit. They're very clever with their choice when to attack the ball. And then different layers of like defensive kicking strategy that we would never hear of over here in France. But you look at that game in Sale, how they targeted their fullback, how they kick chased and pressed, targeted a young man and got errors out of him and had a field day. So look, the level of detail in their game has gone from being not that much, but huge power under Patrice Collazo, who was their coach, who's now at Toulon maybe 3 or 4 seasons ago. But under Jono and Rog, it has gone next level. They are freakish to watch, really entertaining. And there'll be a real handful this weekend for Leinster.
All right, calm down, Johnny.
Jesus, I'm a little shook after listening to that.
I feel like I'm in the game. I feel like I'm having to defend these guys. Mm. Massive, well-organized, unbelievable set piece. Way more detailed than most French.
Freakish,
phenomenal. Individual talent. Now, Beattie did also say Leinster are pretty good too. So I'm trying to remember who he actually predicted would win the game. Listen, you can sign up now and listen back for Johnny Beattie's prediction, but he's been brilliant. We've had him on a couple of times to talk about. He's based in France, as I mentioned, and he has a serious knowledge of that. So while we all talk about how great Ronan O'Gara is, he agreed with that, but he also talked about a bit more
how good and the quality of player he's dealing with as well.
Yeah. I mean, the hardcore rugby fans might know some of this, but I think a lot of people would have heard it for the first time. So you can get on board, become a member now at secondcaptains.com for €5 a month plus VAT. Sign up today and you get access to all of our shows from this week, this month, and indeed our entire back catalogue. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Owen.
That's the second time he's gone off. They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.